We'd like to see a system whereby the Australian Federal Police have to think twice before they hand over intelligence, which is going to lead to Australians or, in fact, Indonesians or other nationals of other countries facing the death penalty. At the moment, there is no barrier to the Australian Federal Police handing over absolutely any information it wants to in the early stages of an investigation, right up until there is an actual formal country-to-country request. The AFP can hand over absolutely anything it wants. And in fact, that's how come the Bali Six are now on death row in Bali.
The second major clause of your submission relates to the question of West Papua, which really goes to the heart of the treaty. You're calling for a monitoring committee to be set up to examine the impact of the treaty on Papua. How would you envisage this working?
If we sign this treaty, then we need to keep an eye on what is happening in Papua. We can't just wash our hands of Papua. It's one of our nearest neighbours. We have a long-standing ties to it. Australia helped liberate it during the end of the Second World War. So we've got long historical ties to West Papua. And it is undoubtedly the most difficult area of Indonesia in terms of human rights. It's out of sight and out of mind. We don't think that's good enough. We think it should be in sight, and Australian Parliament should keep a close monitoring watch on what's happening there.
And so would this close watch on what is happening there actually involve allowing independent human rights observers to go into the province? Because currently that's not allowed.
That's right. I mean, it's a closed province at the moment, which you have to say, why is it closed? You don't close things off if everything is open and above board. We would expect that in a close relationship that Australia has with Indonesia, that our people could go in and see what's happening on the ground. Now, at the moment, it is almost impossible to get into West Papua for any official, for any journalist, and so on. So it's a closed society. We don't think that's good enough. We think that we should negotiate this treaty, include the human rights aspects in relation to the death penalty, but also include that we get a say in helping West Papua. It's in Indonesia's interests and our interests for West Papua to grow and develop as quickly as possible. So we think we should put a lot of aid in there, but as part of putting the aid in, we should be part of helping to ensure that the human rights are increased as the society develops.
Also present today at the hearing was Suciwati Thalib, the widow of Munir Thalib, formerly Indonesia's most prominent human rights activist, who was poisoned on board a Garuda flight to Amsterdam. What did she tell the committee hearing?
She, in Indonesian, gave a very impassioned account, which was quite moving, of the fact that it does not appear that she has received justice over the killing of her husband with the murder of her on that Garuda flight. She made a very strong point that there were 41 exchanges of phone messages and emails between Polycarpus, the Garuda pilot who was originally charged and convicted and then set free, between him and the head of the security agency. There were 41 exchanges of information that are documented, and that wasn't strong enough for the Indonesian police to take any action, whereas she quite rightly pointed out that on the basis of simply one email message or one phone message, civil rights activists are in fact arrested, jailed and put away for quite a long time.
So what do you feel was the wider implication of her submission in the context of the Lombok Treaty?
In the submission from Suciwati and Azman, the head of CONTRAS, the civil rights group there, was basically saying that Australia should not sign this treaty and without ensuring that there is a human rights element to it, whereby Australia takes a much closer interest in what's going on in human rights in Indonesia. They were arguing that Australia has an ongoing responsibility under its signing and ratifying of international treaties to actually promote human rights in other countries, not simply to actively acquiesce in treaties, but to promote the growing development of human rights. And the Suciwati and Azman from CONTRAS were arguing that point.